Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. Oh my goodness, Scotland won their group. Ireland need a new manager. And the Premier League is back, baby.
Well, I'm glad you all could make it, ladies and gentlemen. Jim and Peter here. Luke's still away.
He's off. Apparently he's on a big park run this afternoon.
Yeah, in like
this
minus
morning.
16
idiot.
Conditions. Why, he might not make it back.
Why would he do that?
Because he's a fool.
What an idiot.
A fool for you, Pete Donaldson, and he wants to look his best for you, especially with the Christmas period coming up, all right? So get off his back.
Well, he'll have icicles coming off his beard.
That's right.
Smell of ice monster.
Beware the Judderman, my dear.
The Judderman.
Yes. And the Judderman was actually Julian Barrett from the Mighty Boosh.
Was that really? My gum.
Did you know that the chap who played Ebenezer Good in the video by the showman, Ebenezer
Good. The magician, kind of angry man, isn't it?
Yes, whose name has suddenly escaped me.
No, I didn't know
Cockney.
That. Half a fact.
Scottish.
Cockney. Is he Scottish?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, that is rubbish, isn't it? I'm sorry.
I still don't really know what the anecdote is.
No. Do you know what the capital of Malawi is? No, neither do I. Let's carry on.
I mean,
Jerry Sadovitz. Jerry
Sadovitz. Right, okay.
Ebenezer Good. Oh, fittingly,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Fittingly.
In days gone by, I'd tidy this up in an edit, but I don't think I'll bother. I think it's good to just see three men losing their minds slowly in an airless room forever, twice a week, for the delectation of you fine podcast listeners.
Indeed.
Thank you very much for listening.
So for younger listeners, don't worry about who the Judderman or Ebenezer Good is, or even Jerry Sadovitz for that matter. We move on to international football very, very quickly. Scotland, they've bloody well won their group.
They have.
They did it. They did it.
Get the brave on.
Magnificent.
Indeed.
They did it with like about nine players dropping out as well, almost in open revolt with Alex McLeish.
Could you say that James Forrest got them out the woods?
Hello.
Did,
yeah, you certainly could. What a fantastic week he's had. There's five goals in two international games. Brilliant.
I know,
he looks like, I know he's 27, but he still looks like a sort of promising youngster, doesn't he? He's incredibly baby faced.
Whenever I see he's 27, I think
what?
Someone's got that wrong.
Yeah.
They've mashed up the one a little bit too much.
He's one of those young lads who get like still gets quite rosy cheeks.
Yeah.
Even when they're like 22 and they can't grow a beard. First Celtic player to score a hat trick in a national team shirt, as in the Scotland national team, for 110 years.
Is that
right?
110 years.
That's surprising.
It is surprising, isn't it? Is he the new James McFadden? That's what I want to know.
He could be.
Or he's the current James Forrest. That much we do know. Yeah, so they've got a playoff spot for the Euros, Euro 2020 qualification guaranteed, which is big for Scotland.
That is massive.
Not so big for England, as we talked about in the last show, but it is big for Scotland.
There was nobody there in this match.
There
was nobody in the ground. This is going to be like the Sex Pistols at the Free Tread Hall. Everyone's going to say that they were there to see McGregor denying Israel their third.
You
unbelievable.
Right. You dirty right. Old man. Yeah, I did feel a bit for McLeish, if one can these days, because if you look at, England, the resurgent there in terms of the fans getting engaged in Wales as well, but in Scotland, not quite happening, but that...
Three wins out of four. I mean,
that is a big step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, that's huge, isn't it? It's nothing to do with England, Marcus. Stop dragging England into this.
We're all British, just about.
Stop it.
And as I said, when England topped their group, topping their group is very useful because it gives you a platform to possibly qualify for the Euros.
It won't be good if England need a playoff.
No,
but the draw will happen at the start of December.
And some Euros matches are going to be played in Glasgow, so there we go.
Mm. Yeah, 12 host nations.
Yeah. Mm. And as well, I mean, you know, I think we're all in agreement now that the UEFA Nations League has been a success and is a good thing, because otherwise this would have just been rounds of friendlies where it was all a bit sort of drab. And now Scotland, as we were saying on the last show, they've got this momentum, which would have just been unavailable to them otherwise, even if they had won.
With some young players as well, who seem like they want to play for the shirt. Indeed. Unlike the 8 or 9 players who dropped out.
Yeah.
In open revolt.
It is interesting, isn't it, with the UEFA Nations League, that it really has translated to everybody. I love how football fans... I don't think UEFA could have envisaged it going this well.
No.
We'll have a little tweak and everyone's like, what's all this? Doesn't make sense. And
why is the flag so big?
Exactly. The flag is awful.
Why has it got its own theme?
The flag is awful.
The flag is mad.
Yeah, yeah. We disagree. It should just be an England flag.
I feel like... Like, countries on Jupiter should have flags that size.
Yeah, I
don't. But for Earth, it's too much.
Do you think the side who wins the UEFA Nations League, it should be their flag for 2 years? That's the kind of prize, isn't it? Every time it's mentioned, that's the flag. But, just give a little tweak here and there, make a new competition. Mm. And everyone's been, I suppose, hoodwinked sort of thing. Even the players are celebrating the goals and all this. UEFA going, bloody hell.
Yeah.
We didn't expect this.
Yeah. We didn't expect this to be so easy.
Yeah, international football is back, ladies and gentlemen.
You see, the opener though, Kayal. Oh, what a hit that was! I know the keeper probably wasn't the best place, but wonderful hit.
He only had like 5 minutes to set himself as well, didn't he? The spacey.
It was basically a free kick.
Do you know he called his son Pirlo?
Oh, did Pirlo, he?
Yeah. Oh, brilliant!
Well, that's
Pirlo Kayal.
Yeah, that's up there with Ronaldo Vieira and his brother Romario Vieira.
Nice.
I think, yeah.
Lovely.
What if they prefer rugby? Don't imagine if he...
I'm sure we'll get on to Patrice Evra, but I'm fairly certain Evra's son is called Larry Evra. Yeah.
Nice, that's good.
Which I think is great.
Yeah. Could have been George.
Could have been.
Now, we know the final four teams for next summer's UEFA Nations League semi-finals now. England, the Netherlands, Switzerland and Portugal.
Mm.
Chaps, dare I suggest... Are England favourites?
No. I would say Portugal are.
Really?
Surely, yeah. Because of the big man.
Ronaldo's coming back. Yeah. I think we spoke about this one on the continent yesterday. But yeah, Ronaldo's definitely thinking, oh, that's June, I don't think I'm doing much in June.
Netherlands, he won't be able to resist.
Yeah.
The Netherlands look quite spirited, though.
They
look quite up for it. That goal by Virgil van Dijk in the last.
Finish with aplomb.
Yeah, he also then consoled the referee, didn't he? He noticed that the referee looked really sad.
No, do you know why that was?
Yeah, and the referee's mother had recently passed away, and then big Virgil did the old arm around the shoulder as well.
Yeah. What a chap. And if you fancy Virgil van Dijk's boys to go further, qualify and win Euro 2020.
Oh.
It's a whopping 10-1 with Bet365. £10, of course, gets you £110, including stake. Even I could have worked that one out.
Do you know what? That's not too shabby, because the way they play, Ronald Koeman.
All about momentum.
Ronald Koeman. Exactly. They're into the UEFA Nations League. I mean, they've missed the last two tournaments.
Yeah.
For a side like them, they're not going to be happy. Of course, the Irish have not missed the last two tournaments because they were at Euro 2016. But Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane have gone.
Yeah. Mm.
Ireland need a new manager, don't they? Yeah, they departed ways with a heavy heart, Martin O'Neill said.
Yeah.
You got the impression that he didn't want to go. Yeah. Imagine the impression. He told us that he didn't want to.
Well, Roy Keane's heart is heavy because it's made of stone.
True.
I can't believe that Delaney and Co, those jokers, have managed to find the money from behind the sofa to give them payoffs. Because that was always the thing, wasn't it? It was like they couldn't afford to sack them.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go absolute bargain basement for their next appointment.
Delaney, obviously the FAI. Yeah,
the word is idiot.
Often
the
right.
Yeah. Yeah, the crowd surfer.
He's one of the most highly paid... what would you call him?
I suppose clowns?
admin-y football-y types in like Europe or something.
Suits. Right. It's called Fat Cats.
Suits is good. Yeah, we'll have right. Suits. But yeah.
It's a shame that they've sort of sunk so low, to be honest.
It is. I mean, I think we were making the point last week that they do look poor. I mean, against Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland should have won the game. I mean, you fancied a clunky 1-0 or something? And you should have been right, Jim, because Northern Ireland should have put one of the chances. But when they... Northern Ireland just looked like they had a shape.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
And
Ireland look all over the
place. They're in a bit of a weird time in terms of the playing staff they've got, haven't they? They're sort of they're kind of between. You often see this happen. I suppose the Dutch are a good example, obviously of a sort of higher profile. But like sometimes you just get these generations of national teams where there are no leaders, or there isn't a Gareth Bale, or there isn't an equivalent of a star player that a lot of international teams thrive with. And Ireland are in one of those moments right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it was a tough situation for O'Neill and Keane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they've tried to mix things up, and he's tried to bring in a few sort of youth players and change it around. But I mean, one of the things that he reportedly said Martin O'Neill to some of the players after the defeat against Wales was practice with a tennis ball in your own time. And you think, I mean, because he said
mad.
That's the sort of thing.
Substitute teacher homework.
But that's the sort of like that's the sort of
recollection
that sort of people have when something's gone really well.
I know what you mean. Mm.
You know what I mean? When so, it goes, when it's an absolute joke from a man who, again, his reputation's fallen somewhat because he's just had a bit of a stinking time with the island. You sort of think, no, not good enough.
Yeah, but
not good enough.
But it's a shame because Euro 2016, they got themselves out the group.
Mm. Yeah,
and so it would be a shame if their sort of time at Ireland was tarnished. But he did say to the press in the lead up to the games, I think, what, last month was it, when asked, you know, his job was under scrutiny and would he be able to lead Ireland to the Euros in 2020? And he said, well, go through, simple as that, because I'm good. And you think,
hang on,
stuff like that's not going to endear you. Yeah. And if it doesn't go well, then the knives will be out, I'm afraid.
And it's a strange time in his career to start doing that sort of thing, isn't
it?
You know, if that had always been his thing, if he'd been like this sort of Clough figure that had, you know, set his stall out as somebody who makes bold proclamations and
but
and
he has been a little,
up on them.
And he would have learned a little from Clough.
Be a little
both
bolshy
of them.
And a little boisterous, but this is, you know, that was very out of character.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he was quite defiant at times, saying to journalists when asked about those calling for his resignation, just saying, I'll win. You know, don't get involved, Martin. Hey,
he should know, as a man who studied murder, that the arrogant murderer always falls foul of the law.
That's true. Mm. And he has. He's fallen foul of Mr. Delaney
this
time.
Be a humble murderer.
Yeah.
Just do your murdering in your own time.
Do your murdering in your own time and clean up after yourself, all right? Yeah. Don't get arrogant.
Yeah.
Don't return to the scene of the crime, like Mick McCarthy might.
Well, that does lead us neatly on, Jim, to the candidates that people are talking about. And Big Mick could be back in the hot seat.
Oh, that's nice. If looking through the list of candidates, I think you sent through a list of six yesterday, didn't you, Mark?
There were four
of them were like, this will be great for us.
Yeah, exactly. it's like when they announced that VAR was going to be hitting the Premier next season. I was like, yep, good, fine.
Yeah,
great,
that'll do.
Fantastic.
Mm. We have to say that not many places, but Sven's name has been mentioned.
You know, of course it has.
He's already got a job.
I know. And what
ancient.
A fine job he is doing, because we spoke on Monday about them playing against current Suzuki Cup champions, Thailand.
Yep.
They've got a very credible draw.
Mm. A very credible draw.
Mate, I tell you, they are on the march.
You said that you would go... Where is he managing Philippines?
Philippines.
You said on Twitter that you would go to the Philippines if somebody would pay for the flights.
No, if we could get the money.
If we could get the money, we will definitely send you the Philippines.
Yeah. Crowdfunder.
But you've got to go to every part of town in the Philippines.
What, until he finds Sven?
Until he finds Sven.
I don't think it'll be hard
long.
To find.
Yeah, a Marcus Speller bar crawl until you find Sven. All the hotel bars in all of the districts.
Yeah, what you do is you DM Peter Reed.
Yeah.
I'm in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Do you got any hotel foyer recommendations?
There was a beautiful video of Peter Reed back at the Stadium of Light from a couple of weeks ago. And he was meeting all of his old assistant and stuff. I got a little bit emotional, to be honest.
Oh, I did see that. I think you might have sent it around.
I do like Peter Reed.
We do like Peter Reed. With Sven, it's a bit like in The Wire. Just follow the money.
Yeah.
So the most expensive hotel, that's where he'll be.
And then basically that's what the IFA have got to do, isn't it?
I think so. I think that's what it is.
Has Sven in the last 20 years used curtains that he didn't have a button for to open and close them? You know what I mean? Because really fancy hotels, they have buttons that open and close the curtains.
Yeah,
do you reckon
his
curtains in his house, he doesn't really know how to open or close them?
No, I think he does, because he desperately needs to know how to, you know, with those long lenses, Peter, that the paparazzi use, bloody Nora. There's a man who knows how to conceal himself. Mm. If
I don't know that's entirely true, Marcus. I'm not sure it's that much of a secret that Sven is a bit of a shagger.
No, it's not. He documented it in his own autobiography. But I'm just saying,
entitled
we
Massive Shagger.
But we haven't. I'm just saying, we haven't seen any pictures.
Fair enough.
Which is, I think, good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
I don't think you'd get much for those.
But anyway, he's not one of the front runners.
He got a Todd grip.
Todd's there.
Yeah, Todd's there.
Tickling the ivory.
Tinkling the ivory. That's foreplay.
Indeed it is. But he's not one of the front runners for the job.
No. So why the fuck are we talking about him?
It just seemed to be relevant.
Yeah, it just seemed to be relevant, didn't it, Marcus?
Stephen Kenny,
right.
The manager of Dundalk, could be an option.
Be like a bold that. Option, but you know, he's had.
It would be a cheap option.
It might be. Yeah. This man is.
Why he's there, isn't it? It's really.
He's had great success at Dundalk, what they did in European competition, mm-hmm. Into the Europa League for an Irish side. He's yeah. won that league.
Apparently, they play. I'm not going to pretend I've seen them play, but they apparently play a very attractive attacking style.
Is that right?
That would be good.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Stevie Bruce has been mentioned
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that would be a fun one.
I mean, it really is sort of win-win all round, isn't it? Really. But yes, Mick McCarthy. I mean, if Mick went back to Ireland after, you know, Roy yeah. Keane and Martin O'Neill, it'd be glorious.
Sort out the mess. Sort out left the by Keno. Indeed. Another one's Big Sam, isn't it? And I wonder, going back to what we were saying about the, you know, the players that they have available, yeah. if he might actually be the most sensible choice.
Do you know what?
A wine glass full of Guinness. Lovely.
I'll tell you, I actually think Big Sam would do a good job.
I agree.
Yeah. He's primed for it, isn't he?
And he's managed in Ireland before, didn't he? Did he not begin his managerial career at Limerick, maybe?
I think you might be right, yeah, yeah. But I mean, he's got a great record at international level. Yeah, 100%. As we all
we're
know.
We're so glad of that. We're so glad of him drinking that pint of wine. We're so glad of him putting a serviette on his head.
God, imagine the alternative reality we've missed out on.
Oh, my giddy aunt. Yeah, for once, we're sort of, you know, in the black rather than the red there, yeah. to use financial terms. It wasn't a pint of wine, was it?
It was a pint of wine, wasn't it?
I don't... I
Marcus.
All right.
Stay away from this.
Sorry.
don't pull on that thread.
It's not your corner.
No, that's true. Ireland, of course, are one of the 12 host nations for Euro 2020. I always have to remind myself of that.
Yeah.
England host Wembley hosts the semis and the final.
Yes. And are there group games at Wembley as well?
Sure, I don't know. But all around the place.
All over the shop. I'm looking forward to that, seeing how that works.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Mm. Also, because it's football, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's good.
Love a bit of that. Wales lost to Albania 1-0. Don't worry, Wales fans, we're not going to go through that. But Chris Gunter did make his 93rd appearance for Wales, breaking Neville Southall's record.
Yeah.
Be the first Welshman to get 100 caps. You know, that's quite something, isn't it? Mm.
That seems strange. I mean, because a couple of people emailed in sort of saying about how, because we were talking about how you shouldn't get caps for friendlies and stuff, and actually the amount of friendlies that that players win caps for have actually gone down historically.
Yeah.
So all of our big ones were back in the day. Is that the case? Is that there just weren't as many matches back when Neville Southall played? I can't really tell why that would be the case. They didn't qualify for tournaments.
Well, it would be tournament.
Probably,
yeah.
I mean, that's
probably the majority of it, isn't it?
But how many would you actually get? Three or four?
Yeah, exactly. The tournament wouldn't make a huge amount of difference.
Especially not for Wales.
But you'd think as well with Wales, you know, they've had some big players over the years. You'd think those players would have such longevity in the side, but then I suppose Giggs was the one. And well, if you shouldn't get caps for friendlies, then all his caps are intact, aren't they? You know, you could say. Let's go down under because one of their starlets got a lovely little send off as they beat Lebanon 3-0. Tim Cahill,
Ramble favourite,
yeah, indeed.
Ramble
at the favorite. Age of 38, got his 108th international appearance for Australia. 50 goals. I mean, that is a good record. I'd like to applaud Tim Cahill.
What a servant to the game he's been, and what a character.
Indeed, yeah. Peter.
Regular listeners of the podcast may know my feelings on that man, but newer listeners may not.
I think it's unnecessary, your hatred.
I don't care for Tim Cahill.
I think
he
your hatred.
He scored against Newcastle. He's a bit of an arrogant little tit.
But
and
again,
he punches the corner flag like an idiot.
So why, of all the players that have mugged off Newcastle,
I was going to say,
why Tim Cahill in particular?
He just gets on my nerves.
No, I'm the same with Carlos Tevez.
No, but I understand. I can understand Tevez a bit more. I think Pete's been very
well. Dan sent an email, and I think he puts it better than I, let's face it, would want to. About a year ago, you enjoyed an email I sent regarding the mighty Tim Cahill. I know some didn't enjoy it, but anyway, I digress. I just finished watching Australia versus Lebanon in a friendly. I thought one would think that Timmy warmed up for 7 hours. The coverage was a bit biased. It was a decent performance by Australia with Tim coming on late, and it made me think of how much we will miss the big man. He's not that big, is he? He's notably short and can score loads of headers.
5'10", 5'11".
Is he 5'10"?
Yeah, it's fairly average. It's status.
Because he can really...
Oh, no,
he scores a lot of amazing
headers. Alan Shearer's not that tall.
Yeah, I thought he was quite short.
You're quite short, Marcus, aren't you?
Indeed.
Well,
famously so.
107 caps, 50 goals, Asian Cup winner, first Australian to score in the World Cup, Asian Cup, etc. The man is nothing short of a legend to us. He will be sorely missed.
And some good goals at the big level. That volley, all that.
Knows how to teach a corner flag a lesson as well.
Indeed,
yeah. Talent.
The speech following the game. This is the only time you'll see me cry. The sacrifices my family made for me are the reason I am fearless and free when I walk on that pitch. Cheers, Dan. On behalf of Australia, he says.
Oh,
that's very big
nice.
Of him.
Big of you. Big of you as
I
well.
Was say, yeah, to read
Peter.
It out. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
I am better than Tim Cahill in many ways.
we'll leave that there. So we've mentioned Euro 2020 a few times there, chaps. Well, World Cup 2022 has been in the spotlight of late. Sadly, it's often not been out of the spotlight over the years. But Gianni Infantino, the president of FIFA, lest we forget, has reiterated his desire to make the World Cup in 2022 in Qatar a 48-team tournament. Now, when Qatar bidded for that tournament, now, whatever we think of that bid, and we all think lots of things, it was a 32-team tournament. It's a tiny country. 32 teams was already going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Can you just suddenly say, oh, by the way, we're going to chuck in an extra 16 teams? And he's also said, well, that would mean sharing matches around that region with the likes of Saudi Arabia, possibly the UAE, Bahrain, and so on. You know, the countries that have enforced an economic blockade against Qatar recently.
Yeah.
It's all very nice. And he said, we've seen that the bidding for the 2026 World Cup was awarded to three countries, which is, of course, the US, Canada, and Mexico. And Infantino said, which I think also don't have the very best political or diplomatic relationships. Now, I know Trump went on about the wall and so on, but I think that Canada, the US and Mexico is not quite the same as what's going on in the Middle East.
The blockade thing is obviously a little bit different, isn't it? But I mean, FIFA always do this, don't they? We talk about how football is a powerful force for change.
Yeah,
and
love, but they haven't. Love can build a bridge, Marcus, yeah. As can slaves.
And love can build. But I mean, it's been a while. Well, it's not been a while. I suppose it's been a while since we've mentioned an idiot from FIFA saying something like that.
Well, but Infantino mentioned this in October, and his words at the time were about an expanded tournament. Where it will happen in 2026. Will it happen in 2022? You know me. It is possible. It is possible. Why not? Oh, Gianni, you joker. What are you like? Bloody FIFA's Del Boy.
And the Qataris go, twat. No, it won't.
I was going to say.
What? You what?
we've given a lot of money into the infrastructure, let's say, in the stadium. And that's not happening.
I mean, they've been building these stadiums for a long time. Presumably, they'd need more.
They're going to need a few more.
You know, they need the neighbours to help. Like, it's.
Anyone else got any stadiums out there?
Well, the thing is,
like, now it's been mentioned, it feels like it's going to happen, isn't it? And also, he's the president of FIFA.
Yeah.
It's like, don't spitball in like press conferences.
Well, this is 2022. You know, short of
it's not that far.
Short of North Koreans like calling in all of their, you know, labor back to in a unified Korean kind of peninsula. Like, I don't understand how they think they're going to be able to build. Just they'll
Four
need
years.
More stadiums.
Four
they'll
years.
Need more stadiums.
4 years away.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Oh dearie me. Right. Now it's time for emails with PED.
It is time for emails with a PDD. Hello to Nick, another train-based spotting of a footballer. I've been on the same train as JJ Okocha.
Oh, nice.
He was in cattle class and he was very polite to the conductor who recognised him. I've also been on the same train as Robbie Savage. He was in first class and he's carrying a Louis Vuitton bag. That's it on that one. Hello to...
It's not a footballer, but I was once on the same train as Tony Blair.
Nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ahmed, who has emailed a few times about Egyptian football. He's always emailed about Egyptian
Love
football,
that.
Which I quite
Love
like.
That, yeah.
While perusing through the currently active foreign players in the Egyptian Premier League, noting that Egyptian teams can only have four foreign players that aren't Syrian or Palestinian, I think you're allowed to register two Syrian or Palestinian players as local players.
Okay,
weirdly,
right,
I don't
okay.
know why. I saw a team best characterised as aggressively mid-table had their designated first foreign player listed as, this is their first foreign player, John Lennon.
Nice!
From Brazil.
A Brazilian
John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Brazilian John Lennon doing at Egypt's Newcastle, says Ahmed. We're not a mid-table team, Ahmed.
Yeah.
So, shush. We are very much violently relegation fodder at the moment. Jake Perrins. Talk about bumping into footballing heroes. I used to be a massive fan of Harry Redknapp and follow his teams as my second team / Premier League team. Why are you listening to this podcast? when Bournemouth were in League Two when I was about 10 years old. You'll imagine my excitement when at a friendly between Bournemouth and Portsmouth, the Redknapp era, Redknapp was for some reason sat in the stand in the row above me, just four rows up from the dugout. 10-year-old and me, in excitement, turns around and asks him for his autograph about 1 minute into the game, at which he grumbles back, just let me watch your game, will you?
Aww.
I mean, he is manager of the team, so
it's a tricky
that's
one.
All right, isn't it?
Yeah, but just say it half time or
just
after
say
the game.
Half time,
it's
yeah.
poor timing, but he's 10.
Alex Redfern emailed in quite a long email. The bottom line is, Socceroos legend Luke Wilshire bought him and his friend a tower of beer in Brisbane on Friday. So,
well done.
There were two towers in, apparently. Brilliant. and he contributed the third tower. So
have you had a
go.
Tower of beer, Peter?
Well, I've drank some of a tower of beer. Right. I find it a gauche, to be honest. By the time you get to the end of it, the beer's flat.
By the way, those who are gauche. Those, yeah, well, that's exactly it, Jim.
Yeah. And finally, for now, 30-year-old Scott Hunter just finished my weekly bath and I read a magazine, 442. Ooh, and they had an article.
Presumably the email goes on here. They had,
just toweling off, thought I'd email. Basically, there was an article about Britain's worst football team, Fort William FC.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just looking to offer my services as a player as they have a 30-year-old called Scott Hunter. And I'm also a 30-year-old Scott Hunter from nearby. Yeah. It would save on registration charges and fees because they've had problems with that before. I can't really get any worse for them, so I may as well take a shot. Keep up the good work.
I mean, that's what it's come to, hasn't it? Bloke saying, I've got the same name as one of yours. I should get a game.
Yeah. Lovely old job. Lovely. You're going to get to the show short at thefootballramble.com.
Super. All right. After the break, it's Premier League, people.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The young lad, Creek, I think he, Rufus Creek, I think he's very interesting.
That's Peter Shelton trying to say Loftus Cheek. He called him Rufus Creek. Sounds like a TV detective.
Up the creek, eh? Up the creek.
Do you want a Kevin Phillips attempted Gylfi Sigurdsson?
Oh, go on.
Silif Gudjerson comes on.
Oh, yeah. I feel for people who say that on live TV or something, because I struggled with Seferovic, didn't I, on Monday?
Yes. It's not an easy job, but still, it's funny when they get it wrong.
That's very, very true.
They paid 10 times more than not you are, Marcus.
at the very least. Premier League, gentlemen, is back. Premier League. We've enjoyed international break, but it's nice to have the Premier League.
Well, I don't like it. When I get really excited that I can watch Newcastle play at the weekend.
And then you remember
it's Monday. And you go, oh, for crying out loud.
And then the game starts, and you remember what the team are like.
Bring back the internationals. Yeah. Indeed. Well, Fulham face Southampton. If you're a fan of goals, you'll like this one.
I don't know. I can imagine this will be a lot of shots screwed wide rather than a sort of keystone cops.
I think you're forgetting what Mitrovic did in the international.
Yeah, true.
Break, take him off penalty.
Yeah, Panenka in it.
But he scored a couple of goals. But yeah, there's a big one down the bottom. Claudio Ranieri. See, I nearly did it there. Claudio Ranieri. His first game in charge. Will he be the man to sort out that Fulham defence, because somebody has to at some point.
I don't know if Fulham's problem is that they're too nice. Is hiring Claudio Ranieri the best way to solve that?
That is a point.
You can be nice and organised at the back, though. It's not about being nasty or putting
look at Bournemouth.
Yeah, true. Eddie Howe's nice.
Well, when you say nice, I mean, Claudio Ranieri's won the Premier League, lest we forget.
Yeah.
So he's got to have a bit of grit about him.
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm really interested to see how different they're going to be, because the whole game plan has to change for Fulham from now on, doesn't it? Because it's just been an absolute disaster that has not been able to translate to the Premier League. So, I mean, obviously he's not going to have had that long to work with the players, but they've got to try and do something radically different from what it was. Be interesting to see how he sort of moulds those players that he has at his disposal. Because, you know, that the team sheet is, there's a lot of talent on it.
Yes, exactly. And you know, if Fulham were going to sack Jukanovic, which of course they have, do it at the start of the international break, which they did, and they've got Ranieri.
Nailed the sack in. So that's a nailed the positive sack in. Point. Something to build on.
They didn't Panenka the sack in.
No, they didn't. And Ranieri, we have to sort of go on his kind of time at Leicester in the Premier League, which is most recently. He did like his starting 11 to be quite regular, whereas Fulham have chopped and changed around. Especially
I heard on the continent, his last club, he sorted out the defence. So you can only hope for that kind of organisation to translate into Fulham for granted.
But going forward, you know, Mitrovic, you're always going to get goals with him. They've got talent going forward. It's just build from the back, for crying out loud. It's pretty obvious. But there are rumours, talking of Southampton, that Mark Hughes could be out of a job if Southampton lose this one. And you would imagine that could be the case. I mean, Southampton are not in good shakes at all. And we talked about Fulham having lost games against Huddersfield and Cardiff, which is damning when you're down there, because those sides are in that relegation running, of course, with Fulham. When you're losing to sides who are down there with you, that's not good. And so Southampton, you know, if they get beaten by Fulham, you've got to think to yourself, you know, when they had, what was his name, Maurizio Pellegrino in charge, they took so long to sack him, they just stayed up. And fair enough, it was Mark Hughes who kept them up. But now you would think that they've given him a fair bit of time. And it's not going very well.
It's not worked for me, Clive.
No, indeed. But better news, though, for Southampton, or more specifically Charlie Austin, is that VAR is coming to the Premier League next season.
It's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, I think we mentioned this before. Jim, you're for VAR.
I am, because I generally feel like, obviously there are problems with it, but you know, it's very rare that, you know, a decision isn't made better by it. And I just feel like I find it more annoying being on the end of wrong decisions than I enjoy being able to sort of have this debate over and over again. So I would like to see if it
yeah,
works.
Yeah, I don't think we need to sort of go over the whole VAR yes or no. I do think personally I'm against VAR, and I think the quality of the World Cup and how much fun it was, certainly for our country, kind of papered over the cracks and the problems that VAR's implementation had. It'll get better, but I think it sets an unfair playing field, and it makes the haves be more heavy and the have-nots more have-notty.
Yeah, there you are, you see. The old mantra of Pete Donaldson there. We move on to the thigh rubber of the weekend, Spurs.
Before we move on, Bet365, Fulham to be relegated.
Oh.
4-7 with Bet365. I don't want to fill your heart with poison, Marcus, but with Bet365, £10 returning, £15.71, including stake, should they go back from whence they came.
See, if Fulham went down, I would think that the club might say to Jukanovic, come back now.
Yeah,
do what you did last time. That'd be great. We'd really appreciate that. Yes, the thigh rubber of the weekend, Spurs at home to Chelsea. Who do we fancy for this one?
Really interesting one, isn't it? Because Spurs have struggled against kind of the sides around them effectively so far this season. Liverpool and City as well. So,
did struggle against those. They looked very much second best.
Second best. And I think based on the current form that we've seen, you'd very much put Chelsea in that bracket as well. And also, they've not been fantastic at home. They've won just 22% of their Premier League points at home this season.
It's not really their home, I know. As I said,
That's probably
said it to death, but you know,
lowest ratio in the division apparently, which sounds mad.
It does
the start they've had, but I feel like this could be Chelsea's.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought you were going to say Chelsea's day. And I was waiting for, it could be.
You're
Chelsea's.
Just waiting for day, and then you were going to move on.
It could be Chelsea's day. I mean, I think. I mean,
day. Sorry, no, I just left a really long Harold Pinter style pause in there.
No, not at all.
Day.
Chelsea have looked very, very good defensively this season. Only Man City and Liverpool have conceded fewer goals than them, and of course, they've yet to lose. I think that Pochettino, despite that, I think he might go for the jugular.
Yeah,
I think he
fancy a score draw on this one.
Oh, do you?
And if you'd like the score draw, well, if you'd like a draw with Bet365, 12-5 at £10 returning, £34 including stake.
I think Spurs could go for the jugular, as I say, and I think they're well aware of how they've come up short against some of the bigger sides this season. I think they'll go for them, and I think with some of the Spurs players coming off the international break, they'll be more kind of refreshed. I mean, Eden Hazard said recently that he's been feeling fatigued.
I'm paggard.
Yeah, exactly. Good word. Watch out for that one, ladies
speaking
and gentlemen.
Speaking of thigh rubbers, can we talk about Patrice Evra's fine Instagram work?
Yeah. Has anyone heard from him? Salmonella might well have kicked in by now.
Describe it for those who... I mean, what Pete is about to describe you...
It's hard to be put off raw chicken.
What he's about to say
Patrice
did happen.
Patrice Evra doing, you know, that salt beer guy who sort of slaps the meat and
Turkish
stuff.
Turkish fella.
Like, the Turkish fella who slaps meat and like he's... You
sprinkle
know,
salt.
Like he's doing, you know, like he's indulging a bit of sexual nonsense with some meat. Patrice Evra was basically doing the same. He was sort of like nibbling on a raw chicken that he was about to put in the oven. He was putting salt in his mouth that had been rubbed on the chicken.
He was sucking
the end of the bone of the thigh, of the leg. It was just...
Sexual.
It was sexual, and he's not going to be very well.
No.
He's not going to be very well.
What I love is, though, at the end he did his little catchphrase. Oh, I love this game.
Yeah,
this you're not. Game. I don't know what game you're playing now, myself.
Well, salmonella head, chicken.
His head is full of bacteria. Yeah. He's just been doing this, I mean, so much.
I'm not an expert on how you get on getting ill from chicken, though. Mate, do you have to swallow some? Maybe he will be fine.
No, if your business is kissing and rubbing your mouth over raw chicken, you're at risk of, unless it's a particularly well cared for chicken.
Oh, but did you see the chicken though?
I mean, he begins the video by kissing its bum.
Yeah. Well, it's breast, isn't it?
Is it not? I thought it was the back end of it.
It doesn't matter.
To be honest, he was confused.
Either way, I quite like the quote from Tom Victor, the journalist. That video is the most irresponsible thing involving Patrice Evra since David Moyes gave him 90 minutes against Salamani and Firmino at the age of 36.
Very good.
Firmino, rather.
Yeah. Although the video of him kicking that fan in France would probably be up there as well.
Yeah.
Bournemouth play Arsenal at home. If Spurs lose and Arsenal win, Emery's army will march into fourth position.
Emery's army are off to fourth.
Sing that on the terraces, you pricks.
After their winning run, obviously the Gunners have drawn three in a row in the league, but they're still unbeaten since August.
Yeah, the form has been a little bit worrying going into the international break because they started incredibly well against Liverpool, and that was obviously a good result. But against Wolves, they've started very, very slowly, and they really, really need to address this slow start thing, because there's some tough games coming up. Spurs and Man United come very soon.
A trip to Ukraine in the Europa League,
which is no fun. I'm a little concerned, but it's funny. It's almost like, you know, under Arsene Wenger, there were so many obvious things that needed to change that kept coming back. And this
the defense,
this, very much so. Yeah, but this feels like a new one. Like a why do we start games so slowly? Sort of issue. So,
sure. But Emery said recently that Arsenal was struggling to balance defense and attack, and that was one of the things that he's trying to sort out. And basically what he's saying is that there was a lot of emphasis on the attacking side. I mean, there would be with some of the players at their disposal. But he said his first job was to sort out the defence as it had been neglected and obviously stop their decline. Well, at the moment, you'd say he has stopped that decline. Mm. It's looking much more likely. The Arsenal look like they have some sort of shape as well. And so I think that Arsenal, you know, going into this sort of tricky period, I think that last year or the year before, you'd be thinking, oh, blimey, how many points can just sort of be stuck
slip away?
Or whatever. Whereas now I think to myself, Arsenal could get three wins there.
Well,
results.
Yeah, we'll see. I think this will be a very interesting game against Bournemouth, because Bournemouth are a very, very energetic side, and as are Arsenal. So going, if they go toe-to-toe with each other's styles,
I think that'll suit
expect
Arsenal.
Them to. Well, absolutely, but I think that as well will also make for a very good spectacle. But yeah, I mean, Laurent Koscielny's back soon as well. I'll be really interested to see what sort of shape he's in after such a bad injury at his age. And if he's in any sort of fit state to help the team, that'll be a huge, huge boost.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're right to say Bournemouth, they've played, playing an attacking style and what, they've played some good stuff this season. Already on 20 points after 12 matches. And they've lost their last two, but they're still ahead of Watford and Man United on goal difference, which shows how well they've been going. Callum Wilson will have an extra spring in his step.
Yeah, he's scored a few against Arsenal.
And after his goal for England as well. So, Ryan Fraser pressing on international duty as well. I think that'll be a very entertaining game.
Yeah.
Damn it all.
Looking forward to it.
Indeed. So, there we are. Are we ready for our best bet with Bet365?
We are ready for our best bet with Bet365.
Excellente.
Pete Carter back in the hot seat.
Damn right he is.
After his win last week. I mean, it's lukewarm at the moment. The seat is only going to get hotter and hotter as Pete Carter brings another bet home. Using the Bet Builder feature on Bet365's website, let's go Fulham to win and over two cards at 3-1. The new manager bounce and Southampton are pump in Pete Carter's world. £50 on this returns £200. All proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. You have to be over the age of to bet. Please gamble responsibly. For more information on that, begambleaway.org.
Love that. Good
we'll
betting.
Find out that one goes on Monday.
Indeed. All right, now it's time for Game Time with Pete Donaldson.
It is time for I don't have a stab, so I'll use this one.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
I think that should be like a generic jingle for when I don't have a jingle for something.
Yeah. It certainly works,
well,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because we're not doing going for gold,
no,
are we?
No, because you're scared, aren't you?
You're scared.
Because Luke's away.
Scared,
you've gone, oh, here's an opportunity to not have to do going for gold.
No, I'm thinking Luke's away. The listeners will be sad, I presume, about that.
Yeah.
Let's give them a little treat in the steaming success that we had of that last game that Luke produced. We haven't got a name for that.
We need a name for it.
No, we need a name for it. Was it the name of
And now
many
it's
clubs?
Time for name the amount of clubs that football player played for game.
Why don't we call it the soccer caddy? Because it's all about clubs and selecting how many you need.
Why not football caddy?
Because I'm international.
All right.
I also use cleats quite a lot.
Shall we play the game?
Cleats, football cleats. So, could you explain the rules, Marcus, in a pithy and interesting way?
No, you're the games master. You
All
should
right,
do it.
Then. Basically, I've got a footballer. I'm going to give you his name, and you have to guess how many clubs you can name that he's, you know, been a footballer.
So you tell us how many clubs he's played for, and we go, for example, I reckon I can name four.
Yes. Yeah.
I think people are across this. Yeah. If they're okay. not, it'll be self-explanatory.
All right, then. The first one is... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 clubs. Yep. John Carew.
Oh! Ooh.
Who goes first in this situation? Or is there kind of a...
No, you pick.
Okay. For Jim. Jim. Oh, I've literally never played this game before, Marcus.
Well, I'm going to go 4.
4?
Yeah.
Big talk. Marcus, can you beat 4? Or would you like Jim to name 4?
Annoyingly, I should be able to name 4, but no, I'd like Jim to have a go.
Okie dokie.
Because he doesn't look confident.
No, I'm not.
Jim.
I think I've already forgotten one of them.
Go on, Jimmy.
Jim, give us
4. 4 clubs, John Carew.
So, Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Correct.
Valencia.
Correct.
I was out of ideas after this.
Oh, God. What was the third one?
You said
Leon. Four.
Correct.
Well played.
Celtic?
Incorrect. Ah! Never played for Celtic. Balls. So that's a 0.
That's one for you. Name the clubs.
Oh, is that one for Spelly? That's a point for Spelzy.
Name the clubs.
Vålerenga, Rosenborg, Valencia, Roma, Besiktas, Lyon, Aston Villa, Stoke City and West Ham United.
Yeah, it was the Italian club. I couldn't remember.
I forgot he played for West Ham and Stoke and all of those other clubs, clearly. That's how the game works.
So that's a point to Marcus.
Hello.
Right, so I throw this one to Marcus. Freddie Kanute, 5 clubs. How many can you remember?
3. Freddie Kanute. I've got 3.
3. Can you bet a 3, Jim?
I can definitely do 3.
But can you do 4 is the question.
Yeah.
Probably worth a crack if you can do the
same. Yeah, I reckon, yeah. Okay, I'll have a crack. Why not?
All Go on, Jim. Go that's on, the
Jimmy.
Spirit.
Go on, Jimmy.
4. So you got West Ham, Spurs and Sevilla.
Yeah, that was a Correct. 3 I had.
And, this is a...
Well, I mean, kudos for having a go.
Yeah, fair dues.
I mean, do you know what? I hope you get this because you've stepped out there.
Cheers, mate.
So you got West Ham, Spurs, Sevilla.
Sevilla?
Sevilla.
Sevilla.
Maybe he did play for Sofia.
He must have played for a French club, but who? I am going to guess at Bordeaux.
Incorrect. Blank for Jim.
Marseille.
It was Lyon.
Lyon.
They're all at Lyon.
West Ham United, Tottenham Hotspur, Sevilla, and Beijing Guoan.
Oh, yeah.
Go on.
That'd have been impressive if you got that. But I didn't. So you get a point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one, does this go back to Jim?
Yeah.
Because I threw the last one at you, didn't I, Marcus? Mm-hmm. Milan Baroš.
Oh, okay.
Milan Baroš. How many can you name? He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 clubs.
Bloody Nora.
Jesus.
Piece of piss. How many rounds of this do we do, though, by the way?
You're the games master.
Mate, why don't you know that? Will this just go on for infinity?
Well, I've got 2 more after this.
Well, that many then.
Milan Baroš. Yeah, Milan Baroš.
Yeah, right. Get on the Baroš.
3.
Right. 3?
Yeah.
Out of that many?
Yeah.
You animal.
All right. Oh, well, I'll have 4 then.
Yeah.
All right.
All he has to name is 4.
Yeah, but I know, but I'm struggling with 4 to be honest here.
2 of them I know. All right. The third one would be a guess.
All right, I'll have Portsmouth, Liverpool.
Steady, right, okay. Hang on. Portsmouth, Liverpool. Yeah.
Aston Villa.
Correct.
And this is This is where I let myself down horrendously. And the Czech Republic. come on, who is it? Everyone's going to be going mad at this. This is poor. Milan Baroš. You dirty old man.
You and I both know that dead air is a crime.
Jim knows the ball. This is so annoying. I don't think he played for Celtic. I've royally buggered this up. I am
name a club.
Guess at one.
Yeah.
From Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like Sparta Prague.
Incorrect. He never played for Sparta Prague.
Did he play for fucking Lyon? I bet he did.
He did play for Lyon.
Bollocks.
Can you tell the link yet?
What other clubs did he have? Because I should have got that.
Banik Ostrava, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Lyon, Portsmouth, Galatasaray, Banik Ostrava, Antalyaspor, Banik Ostrava again, Mladá Boleslav, Slovan Liberec.
Maybe it wasn't that bad then.
And then Banik Ostrava again.
Yeah, okay. So, okay.
Yeah, I forgot
he played for Banik Ostrava four times.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, it's so Jim gets that point.
Well done, yeah. Jimmy.
Well
back
done,
in
Jimmy.
The game. You needed that, Jim,
yeah,
to be
you
fair.
Needed that, so,
otherwise, that would have been it.
So two players left. I hope you're playing along at home.
You haven't tuned off?
tuned off. Marcus.
Hello.
This gentleman has had six clubs. Mm-hmm. His name is Mamadou Diarra.
Oh, blimey.
How many can you name?
I'm trying to think who he is.
Mamadou Diarra.
There's a lot of players with
Diarra. Yeah,
there's a lot of players with similar names.
Yeah.
Mamadou Diarra. I mean, there's one I think we can assume.
Mamadou Diarra.
A French one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving you freebies here.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving you a little linky link.
Oh, Luke's going to be so angry at that.
Yeah,
as
I've
well.
Modified the rules slightly.
Yeah.
Two.
Two?
Yeah.
Can you beat that?
Honestly,
not including Lyon?
I don't know who he is.
Mamadou Diarra. All right, and Marcus.
Oh, hang on.
I'm giving you 5 seconds. Are you going to take it?
I'll go with three.
Oh, I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Go on, Jim.
Mamadou Diarra, name three clubs. Jim Campbell.
Lyon.
Correct.
Fulham.
Correct.
Nice one.
Sevilla.
Incorrect.
Oh, lucky.
Oh, it's another one for Marcus.
Who are his clubs?
OFI, Vitesse, Lyon, Real Madrid,
oh,
obviously the big
course.
One, Monaco and Fulham.
Of course.
Ah,
Portsmouth not in there?
No,
yeah.
He never
no,
said
yeah.
Portsmouth.
I remember him now.
Yeah. Actually, we'll leave it there because I think that's enough. So yeah, you can't claw that back. Marcus Speller wins with an almighty 3-1 in Luke's game.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
God's sake.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I feel a bit bad for you there, Jim.
Mm.
Yeah.
I saw that was a penalty shootout I won by you missing a lot.
That's all right. You know.
That's sorry, you guys. Get the roast dinner, he gets the salmonella.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. We'll be back on Monday, of course, to talk about them footballs that have happened this weekend. Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
See you later, Pete Donaldson.
Say goodbye to Jim Campbell. Jim Campbell.
Goodbye, Jim.
And it's goodbye from me, you beauties.
Because they all played for Lyon.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.